All right, we are here. We are Galexis, and welcome. It is a pleasure to be speaking with you today, as we always have a pleasure speaking with you and sharing with you. No matter how many times that you listen to us or not, it is our opportunity, and we are very honored to be able to work with you, the beautiful light beings that you are, at any chance that we get. Today we speak about rage. Rage is something very misunderstood in your culture. It is something that people are rather scared about as well. Because when you have examples of people who are doing terrorist acts, it is generally attributed underneath there to rage. It is an expression of rage. Rage going far beyond what you would think of in a sense of just expressing anger or frustration, irritation or annoyance. Rage is something deeper, stronger. In the examples also of those who are serial killers, those who plan and plot murders, underneath it all, the motivation, what is pushing them, what is driving them inside themselves is rage. Very often, a guy who goes and shoots a whole bunch of people will often turn his gun upon himself. And that is because there comes a point when the rage is expressed that the smoke clears, the cloud in the brain, the intensity within the person, the shooter, clears. And suddenly, he becomes present and aware of what he has done. Many times, he is totally aghast, shocked at himself. Suddenly, he is sane, you might say. But rage is not necessarily insanity. Everyone has rage. It just depends on how you're able to channel it, manage it, work with the energy flow in your life. Now, rage is not just anger brought to an extreme level. Rage also incorporates other emotions and states. When you were a child, you felt rage. You might think that's awfully young to feel rage at the age of 1.5 or 2. But you do. Rage is really the state of extreme frustration, maybe even fear, terror, a sense of threat to survival, emotional survival, mental survival, physical survival. But the power to act upon it, the power to express yourself about it, is not available. It is taken from you. It is pulled away from you. Now, when you're a child, you are powerless. You can't go to work. You can't drive a car. You can't, you know, have a banking account. You can't do adult things. You're totally dependent. And you're also extremely psychically open and vulnerable. You haven't built up all your defenses yet. But it is the infant and young adult, infant and young child's ego that is part of their survival is, and a part of their discovery of life, that initially, at least for several years, they think they're at the center of the universe. There's nothing, they don't know what else there is. They also tend to think of themselves as one with their mother. They tend to think of themselves as not being separate, but everything is them. You might say that they have a connection to the oneness, but are not consciously and empoweredly or responsibly aware of what that connection is. They don't know how to be responsible. But you know, when a baby is angry and upset over anything, it will cry. Rage is deeper than that. There is a sense of unfairness. There's a sense of, I have to express myself. There's something wrong. I need to correct. Something's not going right for me. And I'm powerless to do anything about it. Not only am I angry about that, but feeling powerless about it is very terrifying. Feeling helpless is very terrifying. And so nature, in its beautiful, wise ways, has created the circumstance where a baby can wail, can scream and cry. And you know how loud babies can get. It's quite phenomenal. By the age of 1.5 or 2, the child is discovering that he or she is not one with everything and separate. And that makes it even scarier, because that's a fear of abandonment and a sense of helplessness and powerlessness about that abandonment. This creates even more anger. And the tendency to wail, the tendency to cry is stronger. They've got bigger lungs by now. So what children will do, will have a temper tantrum. They will try to manipulate their environment to bring to them, to get to them, whatever it is they feel they've got to have, absolutely got to have. So there you have what are known as the quote-unquote terrible twos. In the terrible twos, you too did temper tantrums. You stomped, you screamed, you whined, you went limp. You did whatever you could to create drama. Enough drama to get your mother or father, whoever was taking care of you, to accede to your wishes, to do for you what you needed, what you wanted. If you saw something pretty, you wanted it, and you were denied it, you felt powerless, it was threatening, you would do everything in your power to get that. And do you have anything else to do when you're that age? No. So you focus entirely upon these emotions you have very little control over, in a life that you feel powerless in. All you have is the opportunity to somehow or another control your parents or caretakers to get you what you need, what you want, so that you'll be happy. Well, needless to say, everyone goes through this phase. So underneath you, there is always that feeling of how bad, how terrible, how ultimately abandoned you will feel if somehow or another you need something, you're desperate for something, you want something badly, and you're powerless. That someone else has the power, not you. Someone has taken the power from you, has pulled the rug out from under your feet that you cannot express. You cannot act. You cannot be powerful. One of the things that is part of your coming to discover and to learn in this physical plane experience as part of your journey is how to take your power back, how to be empowered, how to act from your power to make choices that work for you, to take action to fulfill those choices for yourself. that self-reliance, that autonomy, that independence of self. It is a gift from the divine who loves you, who wants you to have all the choice and options that you want in your life. If you feel powerless, if you feel somehow or another stopped at every turn, blocked from that which you desire, you can go right back to that child place. You can emotionally return to age 2 and blame whoever it is you perceive as taking your power, as blocking you from what you want. And your rage, your temper tantrum will be directed towards them. Witnessing, of course, how adults can have temper tantrums and rage with their mate, because one way or another, they are angry, they're upset, they feel frustrated in their life, and then their mate, their significant other, who is also needing to live a life of his or her own power, can block you. Can you imagine what that feels like? How much rage can come out at someone who is close to you, who stands, in a sense, in the place of that mother from age 2, or that caretaker, that you must somehow or another, you must emphatically impress upon them that they must do this for you. They must open up your possibilities, your options, your freedom. Therefore, people will tend to blame family members for a lack of personal freedom. It just kind of goes with the territory. That's why when you're in an intimate relationship, if you're going to get mad, you're going to get way more mad at your mate than you are at some stranger going down the street. You're going to blame somebody, something. As you get older into adolescence, and particularly young adulthood, you begin to blame the peer group, blame the community, blame some kind of group where you have to submerge your power into the group. In young adulthood, it's the world out there. You enter your adult life kind of as a beginner. It's not like young people entering the job market will take the top jobs. No, you have to start kind of at the bottom, most of you, trying to find your way, trying to figure out what it's like to be an adult, what you need to do as an adult. And it seems like the system is against you. The system blocks you from your opportunities. Things would work so well if it wasn't for government regulations, for the corporations, for all the organizations, the institutions, for the religion, for the education, for the school, for the licensure that the government has. And government taking over the role of parent to many, your rage will naturally, gradually accrue to government. Yes, it's government that keeps you. Something keeps you. It's not you, obviously, you think. But that rage is still there. At any time you feel your power ripped away, rage returns. You're angry. You're frightened. You want to end those feelings. They feel very uncomfortable. You want to manipulate, control, do something. to get your expression back. You can't speak. You can't be heard. By golly, you're really pissed. This is not right. Unless you've been on a spiritual path in which you have learned to take responsibility for your own reality creation and your own emotional state, it is rather easy to get into blame. And that blame assumes that that other, whoever it is you're blaming, the government or whoever, is actually in a game with you to take away your power deliberately. That's why so many people are into conspiracy theories and tremendous political paranoia. Now, admittedly, there are forces out there that want to take your power. But the reason they want to do that is basically they want your dollar. They want your money, your service, your work. They want the results of your labor. And sometimes your greatest rage is at them. But it's very hard to find a target. An institution is a target. Government as an institution is a good target. Religion, your religious religion is a good target. So, but what about all those people out there that want your money? What about all the corporations that advertise to you and that you buy their products and you feel taken in? Just watch TV for a while, seducing you to spend money. You can get very angry at them too. You can give your power away or feel that your power has been taken from you, especially if you don't have the money that you want to buy whatever it is they're advertising. Then you can get rather pissed. Then you can get jealous of people who have money. Then you can blame them for keeping you poor. Or you can blame a community, a family. You can blame. You'll run the whole gamut. Or you can blame yourself and turn that destructive rage upon yourself. A lot of people, particularly in adolescence, in that dark emotional aspect of adolescence, will start inflicting damage upon themselves, will get into self-destructive behavior. And this is rage. Rage that's not going anywhere. It's not being channeled constructively. It's being turned inward. It's being held inside. And all that which you wanted to express, all the anger and the outrage that you want to express at having your emotion, your power taken away, or not having your power, gets turned against yourself. And you feel shame. You feel like a loser, a failure. You want to blame someone else, but you take it. It ends up biting you. The judgments you send out there stick you. We've always said this, any judgment you make sticks you. It's important for you to let go of judgment if you're on your spiritual path, so you don't stick yourself in a little narrow box of limiting beliefs. Now, we don't say that you are self-destructive, but that's an example of rage. And we suggest that when you look in your culture, in your society, at people who are not aware, perhaps, people who are not capable of meditating, processing, doing things like that, that can keep them into a greater sublime state of balance, you can have compassion for them, regardless of their stupid actions. You can have compassion for the mass murderer rather than blaming them and feeling more unsafe in your life. You can look at where your lack of power is. You can look at how you relate to those who are, quote unquote, in power and heal your relationship with them. And we have discussed a lot of this over the years. Much of it is on sound files for your use, to process, to meditate, to clear, to get current, to heal your emotional body. But one thing that we have been unable, or it didn't seem to be the time for, to do. We did a workshop, a seminar, that took all day on rage. And in that seminar, we went with you, with those who attended, into their psyches to pull out the reservoirs, to pull rage out of the reservoirs. Because you see, that rage that you had in childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, that rage that you carry to this present day, yes, you are a powerful person. Yes, you are capable of processing stuff. Yes, you look at your life from a different perspective than those who are, what you may say, more powerless in your culture. You take more responsibility for your reality. You have a better ability to keep yourself from going totally out of control. When a person goes into rage, their brain, the limbic brain, says, I am threatened and I will do anything it takes to survive. Doesn't matter what damage it does. Doesn't matter. I got to get it out. I got to express. I got to manipulate. I got to control. I got to change it. I got to fight. You are capable of managing your limbic brains because you have a perspective of responsibility, of empowerment, by virtue of your spiritual path. However, there are many who do not have compassion on them. In their rage, they will bite anyone. They will hurt anyone. Don't take it personally. Now, we know that's hard to take, particularly if it's from a family member who is going into a rage, screaming at you. Perhaps even becoming violent. But they're in pain, extreme pain, and they don't know what they do. They really don't. They felt shamed, humiliated. They've been put in their place, embarrassed, shut down. They've been judged. And they can't take it anymore. You have incidences in your life where you've had to control yourself. And you've learned how to do that. But that did not get rid of your rage. It's still there. You don't have enough rage and you have enough control to control it. You're not going to go out and shoot 20 people. But you could actually imagine doing some of that in your imagination. Boy, these people ought to go. These people who are destroying other people, who are controlling or manipulating, who are taking the power away from others, who are removing the power of choice. These people need to go. You can look at it politically if you feel that some representative, senator, or even the president needs to go. You can be filled with rage. And in your imagination, the immature part of you bubbling up with that old rage, with all those times in your childhood, in your adolescence, where you had to stuff it, where you had to eat humble pie, where you had to restrain yourself, where you were excommunicated, so to speak. All those times of pain will bubble up, and you can imagine it. And then what is amazing is that you can imagine going around and blasting and blowing up the White House if you're upset at the president, or going and destroying all the bankers on Wall Street. If you are taking that, the 99%, to a rageful extreme, you can imagine destroying those who destroy you, who limit others. It's not fair. You're outraged by what they do. You're outraged by genetically modified organisms and the power of Monsanto to control the seeds of the world. Even though it is shown that it's creating birth defects and physical trauma. How dare they? The outrage that you feel. In your imagination, you can imagine going and blowing up Monsanto, taking everybody there and throwing them in jail, throwing the key away. That's it. Or worse. But you're not going to do it. Nevertheless, there's still rage bubbling around in there. Now, outrage is a correct thing. It is an aspect of awareness to be in outrage. There are people who are doing outrageous things to others. It's not appropriate. It is appropriate for you to feel outrage at what is going on. In fact, there's one pundit said, if you don't feel continuous outrage over something, you're not feeling. You're not alive. You're not aware of anything that's going on. Because there's so many people out there wanting to control you, to take away your power of choice. Not necessarily in a conspiratorial way. Let's get them. Rubbing their hands together gleefully. No, basically, let's maximize profits. So let's destroy the competition. Let's not let anyone else put a product on the market. We'll just sue the heck out of them. We'll harass them. We'll get legislation passed against them. We'll just rule them out. We'll take away choice. And then we will have it all. We will be the champions. That's the conspiracy, if there is one. Right? It is appropriate to feel outrage, but not to do something destructive by bringing up the reservoirs of rage so much that you cannot control it, you cannot harness it, you cannot pull it back, you cannot channel your outrage and anger appropriately, and then leading to violence, destruction. You don't do that. Some people do. But it's good to get that backlog addressed. Because if you can do that, then you think more clearly when you have outrage. You think, all right, here's what I can do. And you can take your power and you can respond appropriately. You can go out and get the vote for someone who will fight for you. You can educate people about what's going on and share with them what to do. You can take appropriate action. You can be empowered. You can express yourself. But if you have too much of that backlog of rage in there, when you feel outrage, you will go numb. You'll say, oh, what's the use? Maybe you'll go out and march and get all bent out of shape and send hot and heavy emails about conspiracy theories to everybody. We need you to know what they have in mind for you and what the ETs are doing to you or whatever. Yeah, let's blame it on the ETs, right? But whatever it is, your response will either be too aggressive, and that won't feel right to you, or you'll just numb out. You'll go quiet. You'll hang your head. Well, I've got so much to do in my personal life, I need to focus there. I just have to do whatever I have to do in my daily life. I can't think about this. It's too overwhelming. There's nothing I could do. I feel powerless. I'm angry about it, but I got to do something. I'm going to ignore it. And so a lot of spiritual people ignore politics and altogether because of this. It's too much. What we suggest and what we are going to offer you today is an opportunity to do two things with your rage. First of all, let's drain a lot of those caches, that store, the storage bins underneath in your psyche down deep, so they don't twist and distort your thinking. Because if you still have those down there and you feel outrage, you can go into overwhelm very quickly because of the intensity of that rage bubbling up. It can put you into a state of very high degree of stress. So let's clear that. Then also, let's clear the energy that you have. Clear the issues. And not going to take them away. But let's work with your outrage in a positive way, so that you can, as a metaphysician, as a spiritual being, as a powerful reality creator, change something, make a difference from an empowered state of mind through meditation, through gifting your planet with a vision or a dream of what the healing potential can be, of what resolutions can be, to bring resolutions, to bring opportunities, to bring possibilities of healing to a situation that is intolerable. Then you are empowered. You are empowered on the inner. Regardless of what actions you take on the outer, you can take your power on the inner, and you can take some of the responsibility of loving you and loving your planet to direct your healing focus and attention meditatively, energetically, and perhaps even physically through actions to make a difference. Two aspects of it. One, to take off the added intensity of those caches that would distort your thinking. And two, to be fully present with your outrage and to do something beautiful, channeling it correctly to make a difference, a positive difference in your world. Yes, everyone has rage. But if you know what to do with it, you and your world, your future, will be okay. You may not know how much power you have in the imagination, in the visualization, But when you take the power of your outrage and move it with the force of your intention, with your choice, with your intention, with your preferences, you can make a huge difference. After all, this reality, you've heard it before, is an illusion. It's all smoke and mirrors, lots of mirrors, reflecting lots of different things. And some of that outrage is still outrage at mommy taking that toy away from you when you were two. It's the same energy. It's just the bigger toys being taken from you. But you now are responsible, empowered, and aware, which you weren't at two. And your rage can be a positive thing, a positive force. This illusion, technically, you is the only one who exists. And everything that you experience is a reflection somehow of you. Oh, you knew this when you were one, when you were two, but you had no clue how to use it, how to perceive it correctly. If you change the way you deal with your rage, you offer the world a hope to change the way it deals with it. And if you can understand that whatever you feel outrage towards, it's just like that mommy taking away a toy. You can see that there's a part of you that would like to control, a part of you that would like to manipulate, a part of you that thinks that to the victor goes the spoils. And that part of you can be healed and released. It's as if you look out, people doing horrible, outrageous things, and recognize, you know, it's all part of me somewhere. It's not that I'm a bad person. I know I'm a good person, you can say to yourself. But sometimes I just think that control, manipulation, and violence is the way to handle something. And if you can acknowledge that, and you can clear your rage and take action, you're draining out of the whole world that belief that manipulation, control and violence is justified. That hurting others and taking away their power is justified. When you take that away, you become in harmony with the oneness, harmony with the whole, and your world begins to shift into harmony as well.